أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونفخ في الصور فإذا هم من الأجداث إلى ربهم ينسلون. قالوا يا ويلنا من بعثنا من مرقدنا، هذا ما وعد الرحمن وصدق المرسلون. إن كانت إلا صيحة فإذا هم جميع لدينا محضرون. فاليوم لا تظلم نفس شيئا ولا تجزون إلا ما كنتم تعملون. إن أصحاب الجنة التي في إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون. هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون. لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون. سلام قولا من رب الرحيم.
We begin with the praises of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most kind, the most merciful, the benevolent. We send peace, salutation, the choicest of salawat upon our noble master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma fassalli wa sallim wa an'im wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم لا تجعلنا ممن لبس لباس الشهرة فألبسه الله لباس الذلة. Honorable seniors, respected brothers, friends and sisters in Islam, we continue where we had left off with Surah Yasin after many months. And because we are continuing after many months, I will quickly recap in a very short space of time what we had discussed and what madameen and what subject matters up to the point where we are in Surah Yasin. What are the different topics that Allah Azza wa Jal had made mention of in Surah Yasin? Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of Surah Yasin opened the surah and opened the chapter after taking a qasam in the Quran and taking an oath on the wisdom of the Qur'an and making mention of various teachings which had come in the Qur'an and various verses which describe the reality of insan and which describe the reality of man. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded insan of every action that he does. Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ. That O man, be reminded that we are the ones who will give life to the dead, and we are documenting, we are writing everything that you do, every footstep that you take, every imprint, every action that you leave on the face of this earth. Every single one of these are being collected, they are being noted, they are being documented فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ, in a clear book which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making mention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed malaika and angels for. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the second portion of Surah Yasin, cited a parable reminding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Ashabul Qariyah, of the people of the village. And the village in reference was the village of Intaqiyah, who were from the disciples of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed some disciples of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam to go and call and to go and remind the people of this village. The people of this village were antagonistic to the message of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, and then a person by the name of Habib al-Najjar, Habib the carpenter, he went to go and assist them, and as a result he became martyred and he became shaheed as a result of this effort of his to go and invite these people to Allah Azza wa Jal. So during that rukuh and during the verses which follow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recounts the statements of Habib al-Najjar, that when he was martyred and when he saw, as mentioned at that time, that before he left this world, his place in Jannah had been opened to him. In some narrations it is mentioned that in fact he had already seen, this did not transpire before his death, but it transpired after his death. And the verses of Quran reflects this vision of him witnessing and seeing the place that had been kept aside for him in Jannah. And he displayed and describes this desire that if only my compatriots and the people of that village, if they knew what Allah had kept in store for me, then they would have all hastened towards this Jannah. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the third portion of Surah Yasin, starts a very, there are a few verses which speak about the signs that Allah created on this earth, the vegetation, and we went into a lengthy discussion of how the direct vegetation is a food source for all of mankind. Then Allah spoke about the phenomenon of the stars, the phenomenon of the sky, the phenomenon of the sun, and we went through a discussion related to the sun and related to astronomy and all those matters which are related to that. These ayat had passed in that portion of Surah Yasin. And then the portion where we left off, and this is something which was related to the matter of Qiyamah. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, the pagans of Makkah would often pose a question to him. Quran is filled in various places with this question. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. That O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you claim that there is going to be a promise, there is going to be a qiyamah that is going to come. Where is this qiyamah? When will it occur? What's the reality of it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this question here, that مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ. But the reality of this and the reality of this qiyamah will come so suddenly that there will be amidst discussion. Two people will be in conversation and there will not be the time to even complete the discussion and the conversation. A man will not even be able to hasten home, to hurry home to go and warn his family. That is how sudden the cry and the scream of qiyamah will come. At this juncture we made mention that Quran describes in كَانَتِ اللَّهِ صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا, that there will be such a scream and such a cry that will come, that anybody who hears that cry will instantaneously fall dead on that spot. And Quran mentions that this is what they are waiting for, that they were asking for this qiyamah, that this is the reality of qiyamah. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةُ كَهَاتَيْنِ, that my coming, my sending as a prophet, my coming as a Nabi and as a prophet, and قِيَامَةُ كَهَاتَيْنِ, and the last hour we are like this. In other words, the distance and the time period between my coming and between the onset of qiyamah, it is like the distance between these two fingers when they are put together. This is of course metaphorical, that when we try and show proximity and closeness, This is the indication which is used. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that is how soon Qiyamah will come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then described وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. So related to this discussion, we started discussing, we said that in our traditions and in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in every book of hadith, there is a chapter which is titled Ashratu Sa'a. Babu Ashrati Sa'a, the chapter which is related to the signs of Qiyamah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's habit was that he would often, continuously, habitually, often warn Sahaba about Qiyamah. And he would talk to them about the signs of Qiyamah. Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a Sahabi. He said that some Sahaba, they would go and they would ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam many questions. But my habit used to be that I used to go and I used to ask questions about Qiyamah. Ya Rasulullah, what will happen about Qiyamah? What's going to happen? What are the signs of Qiyamah? Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu is a Sahabi whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had given the title of Aminu Hadihi al-Ummah. The most trustworthy person of this ummah was Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he was a person whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had entrusted with lots of information. Many a time, on certain occasions, he had passed such information that, oh Hudhayfa, I'm giving you this information, do not disclose this to anybody. One of those pieces of information, he was aware of who was the munafiqeen, who were the hypocrites who resided in Medina Munawwara. The nature of the hypocrites and the hypocrisy which lingered in their hearts. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, although he was aware of this, but he never disclosed this openly. There used to be those who were hypocrites. They had hypocrisy in their hearts. They didn't bring true iman on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But Rasulullah, he never disclosed them. They on their own accord, sometimes the hypocrisy would manifest itself. But on his accord, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam never described the names of these people. The only person that was aware of all of the hypocrites by name who were resident in Medina Munawwara was Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, often he would go and he would go and ask and say, Hudhayfa, my name is not on that list. Isn't, my name is not on that list. I just don't tell me about who is there and who is not there. I just want to confirm that my name is not on the list of hypocrites. And he would do this often. It's not like he got the news once that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu would tell him that your name is not on the list. It's not like he would get the information once and then be satisfied. And then after a little while, after a few days, after a few weeks, months, he would go again. Is my name on the list or not? Is my name on the list or not? So there were these Sahaba who Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would disclose much information. So many of the narrations which are related about Qiyamah, the signs of Qiyamah, many of those very in-depth narrations are narrated by Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nonetheless, the division of the signs of Qiyamah are divided into what we call two signs as mentioned previously. One is Ashratu Sa'ati Sughra, one of the minor signs of Qiyamah, and one of the major signs of Qiyamah. What is the distinction and the difference between the minor signs and the major signs? The major signs will be so obvious that they will be undisputed. That any mu'min, any believer, they will know that this is the major signs of Qiyamah and they have shown themselves openly. The minor signs are those which ulama have written, they are those which they do not necessarily need to manifest themselves only on one occasion. They could have throughout historically manifest themselves certain times. Sometimes in a particular era, a particular matter will become prevalent. And that, if historically was not a certain tendency, or it was not found historically, then that would be evident that that is from the minor signs of Qiyamah. And we mentioned a whole lot of them. I'm not going to go through all of them, just to recap, to jog our memories and to bring us back into perspective on what we were discussing. We made mention that one of the signs and the minor signs of Qiyamah will be Adnal Asdiqa wa Aqsal Aba, that a person will bring their friends close and they will keep their parents distant. It was one of the signs we discussed at length. Then, وَرْتُفِعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, that the voices and the tones of speaking will be raised and these will be loud in the masjid. From the signs that we discuss, يَكُونُ زَعِيمُ الْقَوْمِ أَرْذَلُهُمْ, that the most relied upon person in a community, in a society, أَرْذَلُهُمْ, will be the worst of them. The person who will be the most influential, will be the worst person. It's almost as if the signs of Qiyamah Sughra, you know, it's just repeating itself and it keeps showing itself up in different forms and shape, even from the last time that we discussed it. Then, from the signs of Qiyamah, we made mention of Zukhrufatil Masajid, Tazyeenul Masajid, the overexpenditure on Masajid, that Masajid will become beautified unnecessarily, and unnecessary costs will be placed in Masajid. So we will carry on from this point. There are a few more ahadith which we should discuss, which are related to the signs of Ashratu Sa'ati Sughra, which are related to the minor signs of Qiyamah. So Rasulullah SAW, Imam Tirmidhi rahimullah, makes mention of this narration, that inna min Ashratu Sa'ati, that from the signs of Qiyamah, an yurfa'a al-ilmu wa yukthiru al-jahlu, that yurfa'a al-ilmu, that knowledge will be lifted, wa yukthiru al-jahlu, and ignorance will become prevalent. Knowledge will be lifted. The term that is used in this hadith is an amazing term. How is knowledge lifted? Where does knowledge disappear to? This is a logical question that needs to be answered logically. The hadith is using specific terms. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given the ability to concisely convey a message. Every word that is conveying is deliberate in his usage. It's not coincidental. Like insan, he uses a word, he tries to articulate himself carefully. Sometimes he needs to use a few words to articulate himself. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his words were chosen, they were deliberate. And they were deliberate in what they conveyed. This word, this hadith that is saying, يُرْفَعَ الْعِلْمُ, that knowledge will be lifted. Where is knowledge lifted? Can knowledge just disappear from the face of this earth? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in a hadith, makes mention the concept of how this will actually manifest itself. Rasulullah ﷺ said in a hadith that inna al-ilma, that indeed knowledge, it does not eradicate, remove, and disappear. Walakin yurfa'u al-ilmu bi-intiza'i al-ulama. That knowledge will be removed by the death of ulama and the loss of scholars. That means there is a direct relationship between knowledge, the loss of knowledge, and the loss and the death of ulama. Knowledge in particular, when the word ilm is used in the hadith, then it does not apply, let alone secular knowledge. It does not even apply to scientific knowledge, but it applies to the knowledge of our deen. So when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that knowledge will be lifted, that means the loss of ulama, the death of ulama, this will be the most and greatest contributing factor to the loss of knowledge. That's why the value of ulama, I'm not from among them, and therefore I'm not mentioning in that capacity. But the loss of ulama and the loss of senior knowledge, the loss of senior guidance, this is a catastrophe. It is a catastrophe for this ummah. That's why many a time we find that mention is made, announcements are made, messages are sent out, that you know such and such a scholar passed away, such and such an alim passed away. And you know, say, but he was also a human being. He was, you know, many people, we also lose near and dear ones. But the loss of an alim is not just the loss of life. The loss of an alim is dhulumat. It is darkness for this entire ummah. It is like a guiding light that has been lifted from this ummah. Rasulullah ﷺ said that the ulama and the scholars of this ummah, the impact on this ummah will be so great. Like the Anbiya and the Nabis and the Prophets of the Banu Israel, the impacts and the effects that they had on their communities, the ulama of this ummah will have that same effect. Just imagine that. That's why the loss of ulama, it is a great thing. I'm just recalling now that in this last 2 months, between December and January, globally, there had been the loss of more than 15 senior ulama from the world. 15 senior ulama, muhaddithun, mufassirun, senior people of knowledge. One of those which perhaps we were made aware of, Shaykh Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki, rahimahullah, a person who came, visited our masjid. When the masjid opened, he was here. He had a few talks and a few bayans. Around that time, it wasn't the exact opening of the masjid, it was just a week or so after that. He came to South Africa, literally. He landed on the shores of South Africa. There was a whole tour which was planned for a few months. It's a person who would frequent the shores of South Africa. It's a person who was resident in Makkah Mukarramah and considered to be among the great muhaddithin of our era. He landed on the shores of South Africa. The pamphlets were printed, the program was scheduled. He had one program in the morning sometime in one place. He traveled to Durban, and literally that afternoon he passed away. A person who visited, this is yurfa'al ilm, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes knowledge away in this fashion. That's why this is not about this factor, this issue is not about valuing the ulama. That is a different issue altogether, and it is a different discussion. This hadith in particular is pointing out that how ilm and how knowledge will disappear. That means that knowledge is actually the domain of ulama. It is the domain of scholars. وَيُرْفَعُ الْعِلْمُ وَيُكْثِرُ الْجَهْلُ. That knowledge will be lifted. And when knowledge is gone, what's the consequence of it? The consequence of it is ignorance. Because يُكْثِرُ الْجَهْلُ, jahl will become common. Ignorance will become common. When there's nobody to turn to, when there's nobody to ask, when there's no reliable source of knowledge being given to us, when we don't know where to turn to, who to ask, what do we do? Conflicting answers. Where do we go? Yukthirul jahl. Then the only consequence and the result of that is jahl. That I'll do what I want. I'll act on what I think is right. The person who's acting when he doesn't have any resources, any information in front of him, he cannot be criticized because he's doing to the best of his ability. But we should rest assured that if we find ourselves in that predicament, yukthirul jahl, then we should know that this is from the signs of qiyamah. That ignorance becomes prevalent. Everybody has has an opinion. The word that I maybe mentioned previously, they call it ultra-crepidarianism. The word is so dramatic, just like its meaning. Some other people probably can find some other way to describe it in a more apt way. I'm using the word apt between quotations, in a more descriptive way, in a more flowery way. Yukthirul jahl means that we all become over-opinionated. Everybody has an opinion on every matter, whether we know or we don't know. Yukthirul jahl. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when you find everybody having an opinion, then don't think that this is a sign of sophistication, independence, democracy. We all have our say. We can all do as we choose. You should know that we are all contributors and we are part and parcel of Ashraat al-Sa'ah, from the signs of Qiyamah. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that from the signs of Qiyamah, وَيُكْثِرُ الزِّنَا, that adultery will become prevalent. Adultery will become prevalent. Is there a corner in the world today? Is there anywhere? Can you go anywhere online in any space and not find an invitation to adultery? It's impossible. I was looking at the stats this morning to see if there's been any change. They say that for every second, pornography has become prevalent to the extent that it's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. They say that every second, 3,075 American dollars is spent on the pornography industry. $3,075 every second. I spent a minute calculating this. That means every minute, $184,000 are spent on the industry. Every hour, $11,070 are spent on the pornography industry. Just think of this. This is in 1 hour. 11 million. Which industry? When the world is in recession, the only industry that was projected for a 400% growth in 2017, the only industry that was projected for a 300% growth was the pornography industry. Every 39 seconds, there is a new website that comes online. Every single second, on different search engines, collectively, there are more than 28,000 pornography searches. 35% of every internet search is related to pornography. They say that on an annual basis, there are more than 68 billion queries for pornography online. وَيُبْتِلُ الزِّنَا. The person who wants to keep himself chaste has become the odd person out. He doesn't, he ascribes to marriage, the concept of marriage, that two people need to get into a valid legal relationship to fulfill their needs and their desires. That person is defined and considered to be old-fashioned. The world has moved on from that. They say the average partner in Australia, they say the average adult, from the adulthood, from the time they enter adulthood till the time they die, statistics say from 1960 to 2005, each person will have over more than 25 to 35 different partners. That is the statistic for Australia. Imagine globally, وَيُكْثِرُ الزِّنَا. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, zina will become prevalent. You should know that this is a sign of qiyamah. وَيُكْثِرُ شُرْبَ الْخَمْرِ. Allahumma ahfadna. Allah save us from this. That's why we should not sit in the innocence. The innocence of, and I'm sitting online, and there's an innocence of sitting online. It's a deception. I often mention it. It's a deception. You know, we go back to our countries. I'm just talking about my own personal experience. In South Africa, internet is there. The biggest complaint is, but it's so slow. You know, the line drops, that drops, everything drops. The biggest complaint of youth today, why don't they want to go back to their own countries? It's because there's no internet. The NBN is not fast enough. And everything is so boring. There's nothing to do. There's no such thing as unlimited access to the internet for any teenager, male or female. It's a deception. We're living and deceiving ourselves. وَيُكْثِرُ الزِّنَا. It will become prevalent. It is a sign of qiyamah. Then وَيُكْثِرُ شُرْبَ الْخَمْرِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that will become excessive the drinking of wine and alcohol. The intake of wine and intoxicants, this will become prevalent in every society. They say that the most widely used drug globally today is alcohol. And the reason for this is that the industry brought 7 billion in tax revenue. It brought 7 billion in tax revenue. The most widely used legal drug today is alcohol. If it wasn't for the tax revenue, you know, for how many years, those of us who look at the budget carefully, every year we say there's a sugar tax. See, what happens with the sugar tax? We don't even worry about it. Does it affect us? You know, the price of chocolates are going to change or something else. It doesn't affect us. Not at all. But the revenue, and nobody cares about the sugar tax because it's nothing. It's not going to generate the 7 billion that the most widely legal drug that is used. That is why we need to be careful. يُكْثِرُ شُرْبَ الْخَمْرِ. And شُرْبَ الْخَمْرِ, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned us, don't think that the taking of intoxicants only means open intake of something intoxicating. There's many products that we have on the market that we don't even consider. Often mentioned previously, that we don't even consider the concepts of halal and haram carefully, that these even contain intoxicants. We need to be careful. There's no such thing as a halal industry without having a fatwa related to it. A halal industry, a halal certifier, openly we say this, that a halal certifier who does not have the involvement of ulama, muftis endorsing products and not, that cannot be taken at face value. Because this, it's impossible. The world is changing. Pronouncement needs to be made. Muftis need to engage on ingredients and products. And we have this globally. But where we have organizations which certify, and there are no credible ulama who are giving legitimate verdicts on this. This is an it's something unfathomable, that how this is able to progress. How there are pronouncements being made without consultation with scholars, without consultations with ulama. So this is part of that. Don't think that the intake of alcohol only has to do with something which is open drinking and open alcohol. But they will find themselves in all these other forms and shapes. We need to be careful. وَيُكْثِرُ شُرْبَ الْخَمْرِ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that excessive intake of alcohol will become prevalent. Then, from among the signs of Qiyamah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that Qiyamah will not come. لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ Qiyamah will not come حَتَّى يَتَقَارَبَ الزَّمَانِ Until يَتَقَارَبَ الزَّمَانِ You know, in our terms, what does this mean? The time starts to fly. Time starts to fly. يَتَقَارَبَ الزَّمَانِ تَكُونُ السَّنَةُ كَالشَّهْرِ That an entire year will feel like 1 month. وَالشَّهْرُ كَالْجُمُعَةِ The word Jumu'ah here is used metaphorically, كَالْأُسْبُوع That 1 month will feel like 1 week. 1 month will feel like 1 week. وَتَكُونُ الْجُمُعَةُ كَالْيَوْمِ And 1 week will feel like 1 day. وَتَكُونُ الْيَوْمُ كَالسَّاعَةِ And a day will feel like 1 hour. وَتَكُونُ السَّاعَةُ كَالْضِرْمَةِ بِالنَّارِ Like how a person, ضِرْمَةُ بِالنَّارِ 1 hour will feel like how long it takes to strike a match. كَالْضِرْمَةِ بِالنَّارِ Like how long it takes to strike a fire. In that blink of a second, لا تقوم الساعة. Qiyamah will not come حتى يتقارب الزمان. The time starts to fly. Time periods become close. That تكون السنة كالشهر. That 1 year will feel like 1 month. والشهر كالجمعة. And 1 month will feel like 1 week. والجمعة كاليوم. And 1 week will feel like 1 day. واليوم كالساعة. وتكون اليوم كالساعة. And 1 day will feel like 1 hour. وَتَكُونُ السَّاعَةُ كَالْضِرْمَةِ بِالنَّارِ And 1 hour will feel like how long it takes to strike a match. Just think of it. Is that not the reality in front of us? If we just think about today, how fast did this day pass? You know, the last week, the last month, they say it's like life flashing before your eyes. There's nothing more like a reality than that. That it will be this reality that life just flashes before us. We don't even know what we did yesterday. When we think about it, we wondered, when did I do it yesterday or was it last week? And we start, it felt like how, you know, it felt like this. This is the reality of it. Time will go so fast. This is a sign of Qiyamah. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ This is an amazing narration. The Qiyamah will not come by the oath of that being in whose hand my soul lies. Qiyamah will not come. Listen to this hadith carefully. I'll read it. I will mention the hadith and translate it literally first. That Qiyamah will not come until hatta tukullima sibaa'u al-insa. Siba' means animals of prey, animals of the jungle, wild animals. Qiyamah will not come until they speak to human beings. وَحَتَّى تُكَلِّمَ الرَّجُلُ عَذَبَةَ سَوْطِهِ And until a man will not speak to the end of his whip. وَحَتَّى تُكَلِّمَ الرَّجُلُ شِرَاكَ نَعْلِهِ Until a man will not speak to the shoelace on his shoe. And Qiyamah will not come. حَتَّى يُخْبِرَهُ بِمَا أَحْدَثَ حَتَّى يُخْبِرَهُ فَخِذَهُ بِمَا أَحْدَثَ أَهْلُهُ And until his thigh will not inform him of what his family are doing. It's amazing narration. Ulama have said, have given two interpretations. Some ulama have desisted from interpreting this narration because it is so dramatic. Until an animal of prey speaks to insan. This riwayah, Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah has mentioned it on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is a sahih narration. Until a wild animal does not speak to insan. Until the whip, the end of a whip does not speak to a person. Until his shoelace does not talk to him. And until he is not informed. Until he is not informed by his thigh of what his family are doing. Some ulama have desisted from interpreting this narration. Some ulama have taken this literally. That this is a sign of Qiyamah. That what is it? That the signs of Qiyamah are all dramatic. Is Dajjal normal? Dajjal is dramatic. Is the sun rising from the west normal? It's considered scientifically abnormal. Everything related to Qiyamah is considered to be abnormal. The entire concept, this is the beginning of the abnormality, abnormal occurrences which will occur close to Qiyamah. So some have said that this will literally happen. And some have given this a more metaphorical or circumspect meaning. They've said that تُكَلِّمَ السِّبَاعُ الْإِنْسِ does not literally mean that man, an animal will literally speak to man. But rather it means that man will start to understand the language of the communication of animals. Have we not seen? We consider this to be scientific progress. That where the underwater waves of communication between whales, the sounds that emit from dolphins, and how they purportedly communicate with each other. Man tries to interpret this and make sense of this. So some ulama have said that this refers to some concept where man will learn to understand the communication of wild animals. And then, الرجل عذبة صوته. This is my own 5 cents worth which I've run by some ulama. عذبة صوته was metaphorical. Then what used a whip used to be used for? A whip was used to direct the animal along with the reins to hit the animal in a particular direction. Now we say the end of his whip will talk to him. Maybe it means the advent of Google Maps. That where what he uses to channel and direct him, he's literally, he can talk to it. Don't we talk to it? I don't talk to it. But Wallah, I mean, I'm sure there's some of us, maybe we have the courage. Wallah, I haven't tested it in Perth, because in Perth, if you give the wrong direction and it keeps taking you, you'll end up somewhere in the ocean. So you've got to be careful, Wallahu A'lam. Okay. وَشِرَاكِ نَعْلِهِ. The advent of the shoelaces of his shoes talking to him. Some ulama have said that all of the gadgets that we have and we're able to place it in our ears and the watches that we keep in our hands and we're able to communicate with, these are all signs related to that. But the most telling sign is this last one. وَيُخْبِرَهُ. And Qiyamah will not come until his thigh informs him of what his family are doing. Now can his thigh literally speak? Some ulama have said literally this will occur. But as we know, that the place that we more likely to keep our mobile phone is in our pockets, which is right next to literally the thigh. حَتَّى يُخْبِرَهُ أَهْلَهُ. And his thigh will inform him literally. He'll take out his mobile phone and it will inform him of what's happening, forget his family, what's happening around the entire world. Our Ustaz Shaykh Mufti Rada al-Haq, Allah grant him a long life, many years ago, when we done this hadith literally, that's 20 years ago, more than that. I distinctly remembering him at that time saying, and at that time of course mobile phones were not, say, as prevalent as they are now, with the sophistication that they are now. But he openly said that this hadith, it refers and implies to this, that the advent of the mobile phone is from the Ashrat al-Sa'ah. This is an indication perhaps that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given in this hadith. So this is a hadith which is, it requires lots of interpretation. I just mentioned this because it is a very dramatic hadith. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that from the signs of Qiyam, now this is going on from the minor signs, I want to transition into the major signs. Otherwise, we're going to get stuck in this and not progress. From among the first major signs that will come will be the advent and the coming of Imam Mahdi. The concept and the idea of Imam Mahdi is something which these days, given the global political turmoil around the world, this idea of Imam Mahdi many a time has raised its head, especially with those in some particular countries in the Middle East who are advocating or keep advocating that Imam Mahdi has come and these type of things. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we'll just discuss a few preliminary matters related to Imam Mahdi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said that Imam Mahdi al-Mahdiyu min itrati. That Imam Mahdi min itrati min an awladi Fatimata. That Imam Mahdi, he is from itrati. Itrati means somebody who is very close to the next person. He is from my very close associates. And he will come an awladi Fatimata. He will be from the offspring of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. That's why Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion he was looking, كان ينظر إلى ابنه الحسين. He was looking at Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said to him, إِنَّ إِبْنِي هَذَا سَيِّدٌ. That this son of mine, Ali radiallahu anhu said, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this son of mine, he is a Sayyid. كَمَا سَمَّاهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named him and called him a Sayyid. وَسَيَخْرُجُ مِنْ صُلْبِهِ رَجُلٌ يُسَمَّى بِاسْمِ نَبِيِّكُمْ. And from his progeny, there will come a person who will be named Bismi Nabiyikum, who will be named after the name of your Prophet and after the name of your Nabi. In other words, Muhammad, he will be named Muhammad. That's why we know the name of Imam Mahdi from this hadith that it will be Muhammad. The discussion of Imam Mahdi can become a very broad discussion. We're not touching at all on this point, this fact, and its relationship to the Shia idea of the coming of Imam Mahdi and his relationship from the progeny of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. That is a discussion which is different and requires its own discussion altogether. Nonetheless, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-Mahdiyu minni, that the Mahdi, he comes from me. In other words, he is from my progeny. I am fully aware and very close. He will be from my very close relatives. Then Rasulullah ﷺ described the features of Imam Mahdi radiallahu anhu. One is, we know his name, that he will be Muhammad. He will be ajla al jabhata. He will have a very, very broad forehead. Aqlal anfa. And he will have a bridged nose. Rasulullah ﷺ describing the features of Imam Mahdi. That is how he will look. And when he comes on the face of this earth, he will establish qistan wa adlan. He will establish justice. He will establish adl and qist. They're very similar. He will establish justice on the face of this earth. And when he comes, he will rule, according to some narrations, for 7, 8, or 9 years he will rule. It is mentioned in one narration that Imam Mahdi, for Imam Mahdi, some ulama say that we use radiallahu anhu. For Imam Mahdi, some say we use rahimahullah, but not with the contents of the past tense, but the future tense. That may Allah have mercy on him when he does come. Otherwise, we're not obliged to use anything when we utter his name. Nonetheless, it comes in the narrations that when will Imam Mahdi be discovered? The hadith makes mention the year before Imam Mahdi is discovered, there will be a major lunar eclipse that will occur in that year. There's no more description than that comes in the hadith. There will be a khalifa of the mu'mineen who will be resident in Medina Munawwara. That khalifa will die. When that khalifa dies, the ummah is now in turmoil that who do they turn to for leadership? فيخرج رجل من أهل المدينة. A resident of Medina Munawwara, he will hurry hariban ila Makkah. He will go to Makkah Mukarrama. There will be a person who will be resident in Medina Munawwara, and this residence of his in Medina Munawwara, he will leave when there is the death of the Khalifa. He will scurry and hurry to Makkah Mukarrama. When he gets to Makkah Mukarrama, فيأتيه ناس من أهل مكة. People of Makkah will come to him. فَيُخْرِجُونَهُ كَارِهًا. They will force him to expose himself, i.e. to manifest himself, that you should expose yourself that you are the Mahdi. فَيُبَايِعُونَهُ. He will not want to do this. This same person who came from Madinah Munawwara, he's thinking he will take refuge in Makkah Mukarrama. People will recognize him. Who will recognize him? Ulama have written, and commentators have written, the people who will recognize him will be the Abdal. Who are the Abdal? These are people whom Rajulun or Rijalun Sulaha. These are pious people, Yaskununa Bisham, who live in Sham and who live in Syria. These are the people, the pious people, they will recognize the coming of Imam Mahdi in Makkah Mukarrama. فَيُبَايِعُونَهُ بَيْنَ الرُّكْنِ وَالْمَقَامِ. They will make bay'ah, they will give a pledge of allegiance to Imam Mahdi between the Rukn, either Rukn Yamani, and between the Maqam Ibrahim. In other words, in that vicinity of the Kaaba, of the Baytullah, they will take bay'ah on the hands of Imam Mahdi. And then, the Ummah will not yet be convinced about this. وَيَبْعَثُ إِلَيْهِ بَعْثًا مِنَ الشَّامِ. An army will leave from Sham. They will come and they will try and attack Imam Mahdi, that these Muslims have taken bay'ah on his hands, they will want to wage war against him. When they reach a place called Maqam Bayda, فَيُخْسِفُونَهُمُ الْأَرْضِ. The earth will swallow them up. Bayda is a place between Makkah and Medina Munawwara, in a different direction, about 350 kilometers away. They will reach this place and the earth will swallow them up. When people see this, then they will be convinced. They will be convinced that is Imam Mahdi. And the pious, the ulama of this ummah will then declare allegiance on the hand of Imam Mahdi. And that will be the onset of the rulership of Imam Mahdi. I've got 2 minutes. Historically, there have been many claimants of the Mahdi from the time of Rasulullah. In this recent time, there have been some claimants, but we know in 1979, those of us who are familiar with even a little bit history, we will know in 1971, there was a person who went by the name of Juhayman al-Utaybi. Juhayman al-Utaybi, we would consider him to be an extremist, in the most extremist way. Time doesn't allow, so in this minute I'll summarize this. Juhayman al-Utaybi was a person, he was a student of Medina University and a student of Sheikh Abdullah bin Baz, but he had great extremist tendencies. And these extremist tendencies led him to break away from some of the teachings of Sheikh Abdullah bin Baz and other ulama. And as a result and a consequence of this, he took an extremist view and he was imprisoned on one occasion with his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law, his name was Muhammad bin Abdullah al-Qahtani, was his name. He told his brother-in-law, he had a vision in his dream, that Allah had told him, Juhayman al-Utaybi, that his brother-in-law is the Mahdi. And this then started a big movement within Saudiya at that time, that many, many groups, many, many people believed that this is the Mahdi. There was support from some government, internal forces, from the army, all of these things. Long story short, they decided, 1979, if my memory serves me correctly, on the 20th of November, somewhere around there, they decided that they're going to make the announcement of the coming of the Mahdi. And the entire Haram was under siege. Sheikh Muhammad al-Subayil, he was the father of Sheikh Abdullah al-Subayil, who passed away recently, rahimahullah, the Imam of the Haram. His father was the Imam of the Haram. He was about to begin the Asr prayer. And before he started the Asr Salah, they came into the Haram and they brought arms into the Haram using, like how we bring the janazas in, they had filled all of this with arms. And people thought so many janazas today, as sometimes you see in the Haram, they saw people carrying janazas. And after Salah, they opened, not before the Salah, they took hold of the mic, they closed and shut down the entire Haram. And the Haram of Makkah Mukarramah was under siege. This took everybody by shock. Juhayman al-Utaybi was the spokesperson, and he went to announce the arrival of the Mahdi. And the Haram was under siege for entire 2 weeks. It was the first time since the time of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu that there was no tawaf in the Haram of Makkah Mukarramah. This was the claimant of a person who claimed that he was Imam Mahdi. Eventually, at that time, Saudiya did not have enough international friends And so Pakistan came along and others came. And this is a political side. The Pakistanis feel that we saved the haram, and others feel that there were other forces that came in, and everybody came and they saved the haram. The Pakistani army takes credit for this fact, that they flooded the entire haram and they put an electrical force through it, which eventually, this then became the downfall of Juhayman al-Utaybi. Makkah Mukarramah was deserted, and Juhayman al-Utaybi and 70 of his followers were put to death, not because of treason, by fatwa of the ulama that these people had made kufr, and they had claimed that the Mahdi has come. So I'll end on this point. Imam Mahdi, his coming, it is proven from Sahih Ahadith. Some people say that because these ahadith do not appear in Bukhari and Muslim, therefore the idea of Imam Mahdi is not a relevant one. This is a great deception. It's part of our belief and part of Aqidah that Imam Mahdi is mentioned in Sahih Hadith and he is part of the signs of Qiyamah. Some scholars historically, like Ibn Khaldun, he was a great historian. Ibn Khaldun, many of us would have heard of him. He was a person who rejected the idea of the coming of Imam Mahdi. And some ulama, some scholars then opine and incline towards his opinion to say that Imam Mahdi, the riwayat are not sahih. But later on, many ulama rejected Imam Mahdi, rejected Ibn Khaldun, and rejected the riwayat as not being weak and not being unsubstantiated, and wrote many works and many authoritative articles against the idea of that Imam Mahdi is coming. The riwayat which relate to this are sahih, and it is part of our aqidah related to the signs of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq. Next week, Salatul Isha, I think is at 8:50, inshallah. So
probably we start around the same time, maybe 10 or 15 minutes early, inshallah. 7:50, inshallah. Next week, tafsir will start, inshallah. SubhanAllah.